This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:05 in the evening, and before we get to our next story, we have been asking you for your thoughts on whether or not you can afford to buy a house, whether or not you support the ban of utusan in educational institutions.
Yes.
And Scoot says, newspapers or any print media should not be supplied nor have any part to play in any education space with taxpayers' money. Even if it can prove itself to be bipartisan, they must be able to thrive on readership and good journalism. Let the public decide on their survival, not through spoon feeding.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree completely.
Secondly, my views on housing is that while some might not be able to afford it, we live in a society that hardly understands the concept of want, need, and can have. I started off with a scrappy, cheap, beaten down house and slowly moved up the food chain. Stop thinking about your first house being your only house, and that will help shift your mindset for the better.
That's a very good point, but also not just stop thinking about your first house as your only house, but stop thinking about buying a house as being the be-all and end-all. Right?
Yes, that's very true. I was thinking about that when we were looking at the story, whether or not it's a question of just oversupply. Maybe people don't want to buy houses. Maybe people want to rent.
If that mentality has changed, that would be amazing.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't know if that's the case. Let us know if you do. Again, that number to call, 7733-2900. And WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We've been getting a number of messages also about racism.
Casual racism.
And we'll get to that. But first, why did we ask for those messages?
Yes.
And that's because the government is committed to ratifying 6 treaties, and that includes the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination, or the ICERD, not very catchy. And they're looking to do that in the first quarter of next year. That's according to Minister in the Prime Minister's Department, P. Vedamurthy.
That's right. Staying relevant, P. Vedamurthy, trying to do some work for a change. It's good. It's good. Look at all the things you can do when you're in government. Anyway, actually, ratifying these conventions may not mean a lot. When I say that, because there are a lot of countries that do ratify these conventions.
We have ratified certain conventions too,
but still end up doing whatever they want. Lah,
yeah.
Because, and primarily because, these UN conventions are not necessarily enforceable by local law, right?
Suggestions.
Exactly.
That's what they look like.
That being said, I still think it's important to ratify them because it says something about our philosophy, who we are as a nation, and what we want or hope to stand for.
Yeah, but hopefully it doesn't just say that in the name of saying it in public.
Exactly.
Because that's another aspect of it, so that you can say, well, look, I've ratified it. We're good. Human rights, all sorted. No more sexism, no more racism. And that's not always the case at all.
No, not at all. That being said, I really like a good bai joke from time to time, lah.
See, there we are. So, and that's why we wanted to hear from you. Because, I mean, we grow up, I guess, in an atmosphere where casual racism or racialism.
Racialism.
I don't think it's always so much thinking that other races are not as great as your own. It's more just being acutely aware of race.
Correct.
We seem to be raised that way.
And I don't necessarily have too much of a problem with that. Being race aware or race conscious rather than being racist, because racist has a different definitional element, right? There is sometimes malice, there is a sense of superiority and arrogance, and there are all those negative stuff that goes with it as well.
Also, if we look at the convention that we're looking to ratify, it's about racial discrimination, not necessarily racism, because it's really hard to
prove by law.
Exactly. Whereas discrimination is just a whole other thing. So we've been asking you, do you think you may be just a little bit casually racist? and are we ready to do away with that? That number to call, 7733-2900. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We have got Rachel on the line. Hi, Rachel. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening. My thoughts are, I'm definitely a little... I think, like you said, in Malaysia, we kind of grow up mostly with a certain idea or culture of, like, you know, making jokes and certain assumptions about various races.
Mm-hmm.
Although, to be fair, I have noticed this at least because I've lived in other countries with, you know, certain diverse races as well.
Right.
I noticed that at least one way we're a little more, shall we say, equitable about that, is that we make a lot of jokes about our own race as well, on top of...
That's true.
We are equal opportunity racist, is what you're saying.
Yeah. We, I'm not supporting, making, stereotypes about our race, and I think that, even casual racism can be damaging because it promotes, a certain automatic...
Correct.
Even if you consider yourself trying to not be racist, if you get in the habit of being casually racist, one day you're just going to, think something on automatic that you rather wish you hadn't about someone that,
Because it's normalized, right? It's something that you've grown used to.
Yeah, but I think that I think generation by generation, we're getting a little better than that. There are jokes my parents will make that I absolutely will not make, and I'll be like, Ma, you can't say stuff. that kind of thing. And then they'll be like, but it's true. I'm like, no.
Wow, we've all had those conversations.
Yeah. And I'm sure, when it's our turn to be the older generation, our children will be like, Ma, you can't say something like that. But no worries, little bit, that kind of thing. But I have hopes that, it's something we're working on. I don't think we're ready to let go entirely of some of our jokes, but we'll get better.
And do you think that ratifying a convention like this would do anything at all to help with that? Or is it just something that where it's because of the times more than it is an actual convention?
Well, I think when it comes to ratifying conventions in general, it's true that, like you said, they're just honestly, there's no power, there's no legal power to them. They're essentially suggestions. But what they at least have the ability to, or what they at least do is that they give people a reason to call out further hypocrisy in the leaders of each country, because
right.
they can point out, hey, we've ratified this. Why are you not doing it? You actually said you would, but now then you're not. And this is like an international thing. So even though it's not it may not be legally binding, but it's a face kind of thing. And we all love to slam our politicians for being hypocritical. So this just means they're adding potential fuel for us to criticize them.
Exactly.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
Wonderful, Rachel. So, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
We've also got Zach on the line. Zach, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, good evening. If we are talking about racism, I think the first that we should talk about is how woke that you are. I mean, there is some, let's say, jokes that they are used around the peers, but in the same time, it gave different meaning to other race.
Right.
Yes, so I think to be able to differentiate between racism and the racism, I think it's great to see. Sometimes when people don't see race, is I think they are trying to say that everyone is the same. We share to be in the reality is not the same. I mean, the opportunity is not the same. The culture is not the same. And then, how do you, if we are going to eliminate the race from the let's say funding issue, I think the point will be it will not be valid if you are trying to disregard the race. Yeah, I mean, for example, in the opportunity at the around city. We can see there are obvious race that have more control in certain industry, like so on and et cetera.
Right. All right. Well, thank you very much. And can you actually see race and not see race and say that you're race blind?
Well, I think there is a way to see race and not discriminate based on it. Again, coming back to the convention, it's about discrimination, which is how racism manifests, right? Because
right.
it's one thing to notice race, it's one thing to think about it, and it's another thing to think that certain races are superior
yeah.
or that is then the basis of discrimination.
Correct. Being race blind, completely race blind, may not necessarily be the best approach as well, especially in a multicultural, multiracial society like ours.
Especially with inequities that you might want to address.
You know what I've always wanted to do, Lynn? I've always wanted to do a show on BFM which featured people talking about other races the way they would talk about them when among their own people. Because I think we all do that. When I'm among other Indian people, there's certain lingo, slang. The way we talk about Chinese people or Malay people is different. And it's the same, I think, when Chinese people are among other Chinese people or Malay people are among other Malay people.
Sure. I mean, thinking about my own experiences, I'm more likely to be disparaging about Chinese people when I'm among Chinese people.
Yes.
Yeah, than I am about other races. That's where the awareness comes from, I think.
Correct.
Fauzi says, are we racist? Of course we are Asian. I don't know if that is the only qualifier we need. Johan says, I believe that casual racism is something that everyone should be open to. My best friends at my workplace are Sikh, Indian and Chinese, and I myself am Malay. Well, very one Malaysia bahagia of you. Sometimes we engage in casual racism and somehow it makes us more connected. I believe it's all about knowing the limitations. Everybody should just chill out. I mean, multiracialism is what makes Malaysia truly Malaysia, right? And again, that's true. But it's not, I don't know. We're not trying to wipe out race necessarily with this 1 hour show. I think it's more about asking whether how much casual racism is acceptable.
When does it go too far, right?
Yeah, I mean, here you say everybody should just chill out. We should know the limitations. But I guess limitations are different for everybody.
And some people don't actually know those limitations.
Yes. Vivian says, wiping out casual racism would steer us towards a completely banter-free, politically correct, and ultimately joyless social setting, which would gradually turn us into boring, uptight zombies with zero sense of humor, or in other words, Singaporeans.
Hear, hear.
Knew you were going to say that. Pushna says, I'm 47 years old. I'm definitively racist. I grew up in that era in Malaysia, but I speak openly about this with my limited friends. It's good for us. Yeah. May, I think racism exists because each race has its own characteristics, mainly due to tradition and cultural beliefs. What matters is whether one race is associated with superior or inferior characteristics. Eugene says, we can do away with racism or racial discrimination through food, followed by education. Everyone likes nasi lemak char kway teow and tose. From yours, truly, Penangite. Trust the Penangite. Edwin says, hey, Rachel would make a good anchor for your show. Agreed, but stop trying to put us out of a job, Edwin. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no thanks, Edwin. Edwin.
But thank you, Rachel. Keep calling. Choi Wai Ken says, according to a friend, said in a not serious tone, being racist against your own race isn't racist.
Oh, isn't racism?
Yeah. What do you think?
No, I am totally racist against my own people.
It's a first milestone for Malaysia. I hope the government sets the stage to do away with discrimination and bias that we endure silently at the workplace and schools. That's another message. And someone else said, how do you end racism? Stop talking about it. I don't know that I agree with that.
No, I don't think so. I think we've not actually talked about it for the better part of 6 decades in this country. And I think it's left us a little more worse for wear.
Jun Kiat says, I, as a Chinese, sometimes say stuff like, apa lagi Cina mau, to my Chinese friends. This is what I'm talking about when they ask me to do stuff for them.
To be fair, Lynn, I say that to you on a daily basis when you ask me to do stuff for you.
I think I've blocked that out.
I think you have.
Personally, speaking racist words and actions are only painful to me when it's said and done with the intention of belittling and hurting the other guy.
When there's malice.
Yes. If it was meant as a harmless joke, it should be taken as a harmless joke. Problem is, where do we draw the line? I think that keeps coming up time and time again, right? That notion of what is harmless. Despise racism long enough and you'll see yourself becoming one.
I'm sorry. Is he quoting Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight?
I think so. Yeah. I'm going to leave that there.
All right.
Another tweet. I'm a little bit racist, mostly to my own race. I get a little apprehensive around certain other races due to preconceived notions. Stuff I'll gladly apologize for if it ends up offending anyone. In my opinion, it's the people who deny that they are racist who are most dangerous. Keep your thoughts coming. Are you just a little bit, sometimes casually racist? We'd love to hear from you. That number, 7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp us, 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after these messages. BFM 89.9. This is the evening edition with Lynn and Uma. We've been talking about racism.
Yes, we have.
Because, of course, we're looking to ratify a convention on racial discrimination in the first quarter of 2019, which kind of got us thinking whether or not Malaysians are ready to do away with casual racism, the kind of thing that we see day to day. Uma's beloved bahi jokes, apparently.
I'm not allowed to say one, right?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm just going to...
Just checking.
No, you can tweet it. Right. Yeah. And before we get
Jeff
to...
Jeff was here, he'd let me do
stop it. Before we get to Ahmad Fuad Rahmat, who we've got on the line, just a quick tweet from Nico Abel, who says, trust a Penangite like Jolo, ha-ha, which was in reference to another one of our listeners who...
Who was a Penangite.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Just wanted to get that out. Let's cross over now to Ahmad Fuad Rahmat. He's the host of BFM's Night School. Fuad, thank you so much for joining us. Do you think that Malaysians are ready to do away with racial discrimination, whether it's casual or deliberate?
Well, it depends on what racial discrimination means, and it means different things to different people. Given how complex Malaysia is, there's discrimination at so many levels. Obviously, people think of discrimination at the governmental policy levels, which is what ISA is addressing, you know, when it comes to this matter. But there's also like the everyday kind of discrimination that happens, you know, from hiring policies of small businesses to even like, you know, life partner choices. So I don't see that going away anytime soon. You know, it's so embedded in our way of thinking as Malaysians. But it's also a reflection of just how culturally complex we are. So it's a very complicated matter, and typically, you know, it can't be addressed through simplistic solutions, you know. And I think that's reflected in the ICERT debates as well, because one of the key contentions around the treaty is the meaning of race and ethnicity, and consequently the meaning of racism and discrimination, you know. So that my sense is one of the reasons why there's so many like dead ends to the discussion, because people approach the notion of discrimination differently.
Do you think Malaysians are racist or just racial? Is that a problem that needs to be addressed?
No, I don't think Malaysians are racist. I think we're very racial minded, but a lot of it doesn't have much malice to it. It's largely like a habit, and maybe even a bad habit, but by and large, given the possible problems that can cause, we've managed rather well, you know. So while there are issues and problems to be addressed, the hope that we can always overcome is also there. So I'm not that doom and gloom or pessimistic about the state of race relations here.
Right. And do you think that the ratification of this convention would actually have any sort of discernible trickle-down effect on social behavior?
No, I don't see the ratification of ICERT as having any real effects on the ground. It seems to me nobody is talking about it other than the small circle of policymakers and civil society. I think people do talk about race issues, but definitely not in the terms laid out by ICERT.
So there's a concern held by certain groups that the ratification would infringe upon the rights and privileges of the Bumiputra. For example, having to amend Article 153 or having to abolish institutions like MARA. Do you see this as a legitimate concern?
I think it's a legitimate concern, largely because the conversation has been happening for the longest time. People have talked about making sure that MARA goes through serious reforms. That's been on the agenda for at least, like, I don't know, 20 years. So ratifying ICERT may be a symbolic gesture towards that, but I think it's a healthy debate to have. It's interesting, too, that those who are against ICERT are not calling for the government to try to maybe ratify, but with reservations, or to make a more nuanced position against ICERT. So what they have done instead is to really pit the issue in black and white terms, you know, which doesn't really help enrich the debate. So I think it's a legitimate concern because it's part of a broader discussion that's been happening, and it'll be interesting to see what happens next.
Fuad, how do you think this will change our national discourse on, you know, a number of different levels, whether it's governmental, organizational or personal?
I don't think it'll have much impact at the level of national discourse, because the opposition against ICERT is coming from the conservative faction of Malay nationalists, and they don't really have a political vehicle anymore since the new Malaysia has taken over. So again, their position is largely reiterated within civil society circles and not much beyond that. So I think it's interesting to hear it debated more widely, but it's such a small platform that I don't think it'll make much of a dent.
Will it have an effect on our language?
No, I don't think it'll have much of an effect on our language. largely because I think a lot of the concerns about the status of Bahasa as an official language is alarmist and exaggerated. So I think right now the question, it seems to me, is more about the legitimacy of ICERT or whether or not it should be a priority rather than the exact changes that would ensue should the government ratify it. So I think it's too early to tell on this regard.
Thank you so much for your perspective, Fuad. That was Ahmad Fuad Rahmat, host of Night School. You can catch more of him every Thursday at 9 p.m. In the meantime, the messages have continued to come in. We would love to hear from you. Do you see us doing away with casual racism anytime soon? And do you think that you might be just a little bit casually racist? We haven't gotten a lot of calls. Maybe people don't want to put their names to this, but please do. That number is 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Let us know. Are you a bit racist? Do you want to see that kind of casual racism done away with?
What do you call a bayou who likes to go swimming?
Nope, not answering. We're going to the news now. This is BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Sharon Van Etten and Serpents. You are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Uma. And we've been asking you whether you think you're a little bit casually racist, maybe, and whether or not, as a society, we are ready to do away with that. And that's, of course, in line with our plans to ratify a convention to eliminate racial discrimination.
Can I just say, so far, all of the messages come in, everyone has just gone, yeah, a little bit.
Well, Calvin says racism is good, which is a really strong opening statement.
Powerful.
Just don't make racism negative. Is positive racism possible? Just because we label racism as negative, that's why it's only racist when we think negative things about other races. I think I see what you're getting at.
I think, Calvin, something we've been talking about, the racialism versus racism.
Yeah, because racism is a belief that certain races are superior and certain races are inferior, and that it is negative. There's just no way to make that positive. Racial awareness, though, that's a whole other thing. Taipo Chi says, the forms we have to fill, the privilege certain groups get, how not to be racist, it's all the government's fault. That actually is coming through quite strongly in the messages. Jeremy says, I think with the whole racist debate of limitations, it comes down to the legal definition of mens rea. I think as adults, as in the court where intention is still discernible, we should be open to this discussion and just focus on awareness.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the government does have a role to play, just to go back to what our previous messages said, in that a lot of the discourse and the rhetoric that the previous government had put out was very, very strictly along racial lines. And some of the parties would actually provoke racial sentiment by talking, by using the us and them narrative,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
And I think
something they still fall back on from time to time. Yeah.
So, and I think the biggest thing that this government can possibly do is change that.
Part of that is through ratifying. I know people
they
don't
haven't done
seem,
well so far, but
no.
Yeah.
And just for another perspective, via Twitter, as an East Malaysian, race is used to refer to someone to understand their cultural context, way of life, belief system, and values. While blanketing everyone isn't always accurate, stereotypes don't come from nowhere. When you're surrounded by so many ethnicities with no reference point to their perspective, using quote-unquote race can help to put things into perspective into why certain things are done a certain way, in effect standing in their shoes for better or worse, which is, I think, what Calvin was referring to earlier, except again, this is about racial awareness, right?
Yes.
Not so much racism. We have got some callers as well. Azman on the line. Good evening, Azman. What are your thoughts? Hi, Azman.
Many of us maybe have seen or even experienced some racism or discrimination practiced by others.
Right.
But I don't think that is very commonly happening, except that maybe a handful of people, and it's more of behavior of individuals who, along with, also have other bad behavior like disrespectful of neighbors, littering and everything. So I don't think it is a race issue between race, one race or another.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, my understanding, we are all respect of all other races. Okay. In fact, people enjoy having differences among the race. We have other values. I enjoy my nasi lemak. I want to go have a good, tasty banana leaf curry. Then I go to my Indian friend's restaurant. And yeah, Malaysia want to send a delegation to China. They bring some of this, our Chinese minister. That seems everybody can enjoy those the different racial values in Malaysia, right?
Yeah.
So it's not an issue. They say. In fact, I personally would prefer to learn and make benefits from what other races are better than mine. And in fact, the same should be adopted by other people who think maybe he can learn from other races as well. So, in fact, in Islam, the Quran also says God created man in different races so that everybody can learn from each other. See, that means God created races with purpose. Only thing that whether we want to make full benefit of it or not, learning from each other's.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for your call. And you know, yeah, I think that's it's about celebrating each other's differences, right? And that's not something that we want to do.
No, but I think when it comes to eliminating discrimination, we definitely celebrate difference. I think the issue that we're trying to get rid of here is where, for example, you see signs saying, I will only rent to Chinese people.
Mm.
You know, things like that. Ali says, I think everyone is racist. It's just a matter of whether you say so out loud or you keep it to yourself, because you can't stop yourself from internally labeling racist. It's the same as being judgmental. It doesn't harm anyone as long as you keep it to yourself. Eugene, I think it's really acceptable to be just a tad bit racist, especially when it comes to poking fun and jokes. We can draw the line by listening to tone of the comments. You can actually tell if you're telling a joke or making actual mean insults. We can always minimize it, but I don't think it can be completely eliminated. It's all about mindset.
Great.
So I think that's, again, what's coming through. Tone really, really matters. That's what people seem to be saying.
Yes.
When it comes to our beloved slightly racist jokes. Let's see what Melissa has to say. Good evening, Melissa. Thank you so much for holding. What are your thoughts?
Hi, Lynn and Uma.
Hello.
I'm Malay, and I've been married to my Chinese husband for 12 years now. And I think between the two of us, we can safely claim that we're probably the two most racist people that's imaginable. We racist jokes pretty much casually all the time. I think the children have grown up with casual racism. My English brother-in-law, if anything, finds it disturbing before role plays with us. So I think if anything, that there's an element around, well, you know, casual racism, if you know, not misconstrued wrongly and somewhat seen positively, can be somewhat positive. But I think the point I want to make, though, because your question was not so much about my racism and my relationship with my husband, but I do have to say it takes a lot of effort in a multiracial marriage to imbibe that value on our kids about mutual respect. So I spend a lot of my time, you know, sitting with the children and making them understand what it's like to grow up in a household where their grandparents have a different religion, their grandparents have slightly different beliefs, but fundamentally the understanding of mutual respect and that we are all aligned and the same in terms of our basic human values. So it doesn't matter so much about which God would say it is not right and wrong, all religion is beautiful, but the key point around if this is something that's very meaningful to this grandma, let's make it important to us too and to love her for it. And same goes for the other side. I think that sense of celebrating, as you said, celebrating our differences is actually a key point. Whether or not Malaysia is ready for that sort of openness, I would safely say, I believe in the context of my workplace and whatnot, I really think we are. But it really starts with two parts. I think leadership plays a part. I reckon if our managers, our bosses set that tone around, hey guys, I reward you on the basis of merit, no favoritism because of race, I think all of you are great.
Yeah.
We all work as a team, I think really it sets the tone. And fundamentally, where that doesn't yet exists or is not yet mature to that extent, I believe that understanding of the inequities that exist in Malaysia and educating people about those inequities and, like you said, open dialogue around how to deal with that openly, I think is healthy. And I believe when we have that sense of leadership, that sense of awareness and education as to why some people are a little bit more inherently racist because of certain other factors, I do think we are ready for that big game on no longer being racist. So I think I celebrate more multiracial crazy couples who sit down and joke about nasi lemak versus bak kut teh jokes. You know, it's cool.
Fantastic. Well, Melissa, thank you so much. That is by far one of the most articulate responses and hopeful responses that we've
gotten.
That was lovely. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling, Melissa. We also have Victor on the line. Good evening, Victor. Your thoughts?
Good evening, Lynn and Uma.
Good evening.
Okay, first of all, why are we racist? I believe all this stereotyping, I mean, saves time, isn't it? It's very tiring to look at each person, this one by one, and then make judgment about them, isn't it? We like to jump into conclusion. So, okay, as for myself, whether I'm casually racist or not, I believe I am because I hold the opinion that Uma is a very wise and learned person, but that takes me some time. Whereas for Lynn, I think it's almost instant admiration. So, first, because Lynn is of the same race as me, and secondly, I think it's because of her natural charm, I believe.
Oh.
So, but still,
I also got natural charm, like Victor.
Yeah, but it takes me, but it takes me some time to discover that.
Okay. Oh, that's true. So it's not so natural after all.
So I'm racist. Sorry, I have to admit.
Victor, thank you so much.
Thank you
calling.
Very much for your call.
Thank you.
You know what? I don't want to call that racist. Natural charm. That's what it is. I'm going to claim that. We do have other messages that have come in, and we'll get to that. We do have to take a quick break for messages. In the meantime, do please keep your calls coming. Do you think that you are a little bit racist? And are you ready to do away with casual discrimination, casual racism in our country?
Yes.
Because we are quite guilty of that, I think. 7732900 is the number to call. 018-789-8899 is the number to WhatsApp. You can always tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be right back. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. You are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Uma. Also, burgers from Mamak's. Burgers from roadside stalls. Now
yes,
we're talking.
Yes.
We've got a lot of messages that have come in because we've been asking you whether you might be just a little bit casually racist and also whether you're ready to do away with that. Benjamin says, I'm a little bit racist. I'm a little bit rock and roll. We should all be self-aware of who we're talking to and the situation. Just be a bit self-deprecating. Don't take ourselves too seriously. Chan says, race... Let's think about it this way. Race equals car brands. Each brand is unique, has its strengths and weaknesses. Some brands are more superior, some less. It all depends on which brand you are. All would like to be Mercedes instead of local brands, I think. We don't know yet. We don't know yet about that third national car.
Yeah.
And improve our own brand quality, and that will eventually earn us more respect and be a more respected brand or race. One way of looking at it.
I'm just saying. I think Benjamin's... was that Benjamin just now?
Yes. Yeah. No, it wasn't. It was Chan.
Yeah, I think Chan is in marketing.
Shah Rizal says, if we're racist, we can't function in this society. The Malay won't send his car repaired to a Chinese workshop. The Chinese won't eat in an Indian restaurant. Indians won't buy Malay nasi lemak at side stalls, etc. Very true.
And correct, right? On on a day-to-day level, our daily interactions are perfectly fine. When we talk about racism and casual racism, it takes place at this almost macro level when it comes to discussions about politics and nationhood. Not so much on the micro level, because our interactions are, for the most part, all right.
Vinayan says, the Malaysian people were never racist. It was the former regime and government policy politicians who were racist and enforced racism. I think that is a message that has been coming through quite strongly. People do seem to think that there is something to be said about that, that if it's from the top down to a degree. Mm. We've got someone who says, Malaysian drivers have made me a racist. Very...
I don't know if we can put all drivers. I think just all drivers. I don't think it's any specific race. Everyone in Malaysia drives badly.
How dare you?
I know.
How very dare you?
Especially those alpha drivers.
Yvonne says, casual racism will exist as long as constitutional racism exists. Address the elephant in the room. The fact that Malaysia is afraid of the elimination of all racial discrimination says something about people's mindset. And the fact that you didn't have many calls, well, we've had a fair number, despite this being a hot topic, might say something about the sad state of affairs. We should celebrate our differences. Another listener, Malaysians are generally not racist. We gladly laugh at our own racist idiosyncrasies. And again, it's the politicians who are mostly guilty of playing that up. Kamarunizam, I think Malaysians confuse racial awareness with racism, which is something we've been saying.
Through, yes.
Because we so want equality, and what we actually want is to be able to practice what we always do without other races looking down on us. And I think that's true of everybody. Dr. Taranjit says, perfectly all right to be casually racist. It's just part and parcel of a multiracial society. Otherwise, again, we'd be numb and boring like Singaporeans.
Wow, Singaporeans are getting the short end of this stick.
Well, I mean, you have not usually hesitated to kind of take a little elbow jab.
I'm not saying I disagree with Taranjit, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, and an example being Chinese thinking they're so cunning when the only thing straight about them is their hair. I have slightly wavy hair, Dr. Taranjit. I don't know if that weighs in on this, but I'm just going to volunteer that. And we've got other messages. At Malaysia, we're a multiracial culture. When we grow up, we eat rojak food. We speak multi-rojak language. That's our culture. It's a unique one. The government should promote this. Politicians shouldn't divide it. My overseas friends are always surprised to see us speak with lots of languages with mixed sentences. We are Malaysia, not kiasu. Mm-hmm. Except we are, apparently, about Singaporeans.
Kiasu, yes.
Misa says, I think signs like we'll only rent to Chinese also means they're respecting other races, maybe to Malays. Another way, it means we eat non-halal in the house. Just another way to look at it.
It's a really positive way to look at it.
It is.
I like it.
Let's see what Roslan has to say. Good evening, Roslan. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
I think racism is okay. But one has to be able to differentiate whether racism go overboard or not. In other words, we shouldn't be too fanatic about racism or being a Malay, I should be worried about what happened to my people from the same race, because the government of Malaysia, for example, we have to focus on the equality in sharing of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, when we mention about wealth, we're looking at Malaysia from different perspective, meaning that we can see a lot of Chinese who are more wealthy than the Malays. Obviously, there are some inequality between the Chinese and the Malays. But the thing is, if we can blend together Malay and the Chinese, we can form up a good Malaysian. We can become good Malaysian in combination of both races. You see?
So celebrating the best that each race has to offer.
Well, you can't deny the fact that we are born to be racist. In other words, the previous government, or maybe since a long time ago, when we were born, we were classified into races. So we can't get away with that. People will be known by their race. But in the Quran, for example, it's mentioned that men are made different. In other words, we are from different tribes, different type of races due to different languages that we speak.
Right.
That will differentiate between us, you see. But right. the thing is the fact is that the Quran enjoys the fact that we have to be tolerable. We have to be able to blend into each other. Respect among each other, respecting the religion of others, for example. So I think that's my point.
Thank you very much, Roslan. I think that I take your point. It was something that echoed a previous listener echoed as well, this idea of taking the best of and blending all of these things so we can actually be better.
Yes, but also to that point about being born to be racist, I think we may be born to be racial, but the belief that certain races are superior to others, that is something that I think we learn.
Yes.
We've got a lot of messages coming in. I'm so sorry that we haven't been able to get to all of them. We're out of time. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.